This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Joe Bevilacqua and New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information, please visit newchapel.com.
Well, good morning. Sorry, Pastor Joe isn't up here. You are going to have me this morning. Yes. Hey, thank you again for worshiping with us this morning. My name is Colby. I'm the worship pastor here. And my wife, Heidi, she's the children's director. And I have two beautiful children. My son, Owen, he's 2 years old. And my daughter, Everly, she's 4 months. And I know we have the perfect family, but we plan on having some more. So it'll be fun. But if this is your first time with us, you actually have come to our church at a very fun season because though we're mobile right now, we actually are moving into our first permanent location. It's going to be on the northwest side of Grand Rapids. It's on 4 Mile and Alpine, and we're just so giddy and excited, you know, because it's going to be our first home, and we're going to be doing demo and all that stuff in July and hopefully be in by mid to end August. So it's going to be super fun. And during this season, I got to tell you, Pastor Joe has been working furiously with Scott Fitzpatrick over all the schematics and finalizing over the new facility. And I've been working super hard on the aesthetics of the whole place. Like, how are we going to light the whole thing? How's there going to be audio and visual throughout the campus? And worship, what are we going to need for that? So I've been working really hard on that. And not to mention, I've also been getting my feelers out there to see if there's any good deals that we can get for the new place. Because how many of y'all know our mobile setup just isn't quite enough to go into this new home? We're going to need some more stuff. So thank you again to everyone who has pledged toward that. If you want more information on that, it's newchapel.com/itsyourmove. It's all part of the It's Your Move campaign. And so we're in a series called Fixer Upper, which really seems to fit the season that we're in as a church. And last week, this is our third week doing it. And last week, Pastor Joe talked about our thinking, like rewiring, reworking, renovating our thinking. Because how many of y'all know our thinking has a lot to do with the success of our life, right? And the Bible gives the blueprint for that. And then the week before, Pastor Joe started out with having the right foundation. You cannot build a stable, solid home unless you first have a stable, solid foundation. And that was very important. And today, I'm going to talk about managing the crew. Managing crew. If you want to take notes, that could be the title of today's message. Managing the crew, where it takes a team to really, really accomplish something. And actually, that's really what Scott Fitzpatrick's doing with the new facility is he's looking for the teams and the crews that we need to put up the drywall, to do the plumbing, because that's what he does as a job. He's a project manager. He manages the crew. He manages people. Now, when we talk about fixer-uppers, like in the home, there's a lot of fixer-upper projects that can be done alone, right? The little things. But when it comes to the biggies, you're going to need to call, you know, your parents, or you're going to need to call some friends to help you out, because you need a little bit of a team. You need something that involves more than just yourself. And can I say this about your life? You're not a little fixer-upper. You have too much potential in you. You have too much value in you to where you cannot live your life all by yourself. And the things that need worked on in your life, you can't work on them alone. You need people in your life to help you do it. So when it comes to fixing and steering and shaping your life, you need the right team. You need the right relationships. Relationships are a huge deal. They're super important. You want to know why? Because relationships are spiritual. Relationships are spiritual, and you're going to realize that today. So how I want to format this message is I want to give you three thoughts, three points about relationships, and then I want to sum up those points with three pointed questions. And I want you to go on this journey with me. And within this format, I'm going to give you a spiritual truth about relationships that I am hoping you're not going to view relationships the same ever again after today. You are going to understand the tremendous power behind those who are around you in your life. And this truth is so fundamentally important that it's actually shown in the very first story of the whole Bible, Genesis 1, creation. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 1. And let me just preface by saying that God is a creator. Okay, God creates things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when he was creating the heavens and the earth, he started with the inanimate objects, the things that didn't have breath in them. You know, the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the sea, the land. And then when he went from the inanimate objects, he then went to the living creatures, those that have breath in them, have life in them, you know, plants, animals, people. And I want to start out with verse 11 in chapter 1. Notice this. God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants. All right, I want you to remember that. That's very important. It's an important detail. And trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it. Okay, so God's creating the plants and vegetation and trees, and it's giving this little detail that God put them as seed-bearing, having them bear fruit with seed in it. I want you to notice this, that when God created the thing, he didn't just create the thing, but he put inside of the thing seed to produce more things. You following me? And then it says, according to their various kinds. And what that means is God shoved inside that first thing everything that it needed to produce more things like it. You know, one cool thing about God is he's omnipotent. You ever heard that phrase? God is omnipotent. When you break that word up, it literally means this. Omni means all. Potent means potential. So God has all the potential. And in all of the living creatures, God placed potential inside of them so that when he created those living things in the beginning, he put that potential to reproduce more things like it. You guys following me? It's very important. You're going to like where I'm going with this. And it was so, it continues. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds to make more things like it. Okay. And God saw that it was good. Now, this process, this bearing seed according to their kinds has always been God's design for living creatures, okay? What he's wanted living creatures to do from the beginning was multiply. And the vehicle that he uses to do the multiplication process is through something called intimacy. So when things want to reproduce, they have to be intimate. So he designed for everything to be intimate in order to reproduce. That's what the seeds were for. Like trees would have to cross-pollinate, and that's where the life comes from. Humans would have to... My wife was the only one who giggled. Okay. But I want you to listen to this. God has always intended, I'm acting like a youth pastor right now, I'm sorry. He always intended that wherever there are living things, stop laughing. Wherever there are living things, in order for there to be reproduction, there has to be intimacy. Now, when we think of intimacy, we automatically think of sexual intimacy, but that's not all that it means. It means to get close. It means to be personal. And so when there's intimacy, there's a reproduction of it. When we're close and personal, then there's a reproduction. There's a transference, you know. I don't have to be sexual with someone that if I'm close with them, if I'm personal with them, I'm soon going to find that there's a part of them that's transferred into me by my relationship with them. Does that make sense? Now let's continue. So from there, God creates humans. We go to Adam and Eve, and it says in verse 26, and then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. This is cool. God put a piece of himself in man. Like, what do I mean by that? Like, we are spirit beings who live in a body. In Genesis 2:7, it says that God created Adam's body. Okay, he formed it out of the dust of the ground, but it laid there lifeless until God breathed into his body, and then he became a living soul. So what distinguishes us human beings from every other living creature is the fact that we're spirit beings. We are spirits who live in a body. Does that make sense? Now, here's the cool thing about that. God breathed into us. He put a piece of himself into us. He put his seed in us and transferred a part of who he is into us. And then it continues to say, let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. I want you to notice this. What God said to them, he said to be fruitful. Now, notice, this is the first thing God said to man. The first thing ever. Now, when I was in Bible school, in my Bible class, and learning how to read and interpret the Bible, which is more simple than a lot of people give it credit for, is something called the law of first mention. Okay, the law of first mention, it shows where priorities are in the Bible based on where it's either mentioned first in the Bible or where it's taught first in the Bible. And this is a double whammy, because not only is it in the first story of your Bible, but it's the first thing that God said to man. And what did God say? He said, go reproduce. Go reproduce. And let me just say that Heidi and I are on track for that. And some of y'all just need to get busy. You know what I'm saying? All right. I'm sorry. But understand this, that this is more than a physical transference, a physical reproduction. God made it to where there's a transference of the spirit of who you are, of the life of who you are, of the attitudes of who you are, of the temperaments of who you are. Come on now, of the gifts of who you are, of the nature of who you are, because relationships are spiritual. And God put it in man, a power and an ability to transfer and deposit himself into others. Oh, that's the absolute truth. And I'm not just talking about a physical DNA. I'm talking about a spiritual DNA. You can see this in family lines, all right, where you see occupations, for the most part, historically, run the same in family lines. You see the same temperament run the same in family lines, or the same attitudes run the same in family lines. And God put it in all living creatures. God did that. He made that process. He designed it when he created the first man and woman. And why do you think he did that? This is very important. Why would he establish that process of transference, of reproduction, spiritual transference? Because he put in motion the blessing of the family line to be deposited into the next, so that when it goes from one family line into the next, it becomes double in its impact, double in its influence, double in its greatness and in its ability. And like the kids, if it's passed down, transferred successfully from the parents, they would have a double impact in the world than mom and dad. That's the way God designed it. And can I tell you this? That's why the devil will weasel his way into your relationships. That's why the number one area, hands down, that the devil will attack is in your relationships, because of the power that comes from the transference, because of the power within those relationships. He wants to stop the process of generational transferable blessing. And so God took a risk. In order to have that blessing passed down from one person to another to be transferred, he took a blessing. He took a risk, because it's not just the blessing that could be passed. It's also the bad. I could wear you out with statistics of generational curses. You ever heard something like that? Of where you see, for example, kids who are abused. 97% of the kids who are abused abuse their kids. Why? Because relationships are spiritual. There's a spiritual transference going on, good and bad. And that's why you see another phrase in the Bible that a lot of people don't like they just kind of skim over it and don't want to see it. But it says, the sins of the father will be passed down from his children to the third and fourth generation. And you're probably thinking, whoa, what's up with God? Is he so mad with that guy that the kids have to be punished too? No, God wasn't saying something that didn't exist. He was stating a fact of something that was already in motion, because it was part of a process that he designed from the very beginning, because relationships are spiritual. And it's going to be spiritually transferred and passed down in generations. But then Jesus came, all right, and he came to break that curse off the devil of that bad spiritual transference and to come make that blessing happen once again. But get this. This isn't just transferred among family lines. This isn't just a father and son thing. This is any relationship. Any relationship, any friendship that you have has an impact to transfer seed into your life. All right? Because relationships are what? Spiritual. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." How is that? How does it have that power? Because of spiritual transference. Because relationships are spiritual. It says in Proverbs 12:26, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully." Why? Why should the righteous choose his friends carefully? "For the way of the wicked leads them astray." The way of the wicked has a transference about them because relationships are spiritual. It says in Proverbs 22:24-25, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go." Why? Why should I not make friends with an angry man? Notice, "Lest you learn his ways and set a snare for his soul." Transference. Relationships are spiritual. How about one more? Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." How is that? Because of transference. Relationships are spiritual. So let's get into our first point today. Our first point is relationships are spiritual. Okay, I thought you'd get that. And if you have some failed relationships in your life like I have, then let me just stop right now and say, Jesus has come and Jesus has the power to heal any broken relationship, and he can make all things new in your life, all right? And he can heal every bad spiritual transference that you may have done. So don't feel guilty. Don't be discouraged today. But what I am asking is that you now take them seriously. And know that your relationships have great impact and are a big deal because relationships are spiritual. Your friend relationships are spiritual. Your coworker relationships are spiritual. Your church relationships are spiritual. Your relationship choices are spiritual. And it's a bigger deal when we get to the ones that are even closer to us because they have greater influence over us. Because everywhere there's any level of intimacy, there is reproduction. Reproduction, transference at every level, at every level. So what am I transferring to those around me? And what are those around me transferring into me? Because, write this down, relationships have lasting impact. They have lasting impact. They impact our lives big time, good and bad. So whether you get around the good ones or the bad ones, there will be a reproductive process take place. That just is what's going to happen. And the closer I am to a person, the greater the impact that person's going to have in my life. And my whole life is shaped by the people around me. My life can be defined by the friends around me. Like, have you heard this one? "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." I'll show you your future. And if you don't believe that, it's too bad, because it's happening. It's a process that God set in motion. You can't stop it. And I understand that God took a great risk in creating this process, but he was desperate for that anointing that was on my dad, that blessing to be passed down and transferred and deposited into me so that it would be multiplied in a doubling effect. That's why I'm intentional with raising my kids, because I want to transfer and deposit that blessing into them in a doubling effect. And that's why Jesus invested years in his disciples, because he knew that he would make a greater impact in this world, not by himself, but because of what he would transfer into them so that it's multiplied into a doubling effect. And look at what they did in the book of Acts. Well, the bad news is the bad takes place too. That's why we got to take relationships super seriously, which leads to my third thought. Relationship choices are critical. They're critical. Let me put it this way. You want to change your weight? You probably never will change your weight until you make the right relationship choice. where you have someone in your life that can keep you accountable. You want to go to the gym more? You need someone to go to that gym so that when you don't show up, they show up and they'll give you a phone call. Otherwise, it's easy not to go. Because the hardest machine at the gym is the front door, right? Right. You want life change? You can't do it alone. You want to grow in God? You need to have someone who can pray with you. You want healing? Well, James 5 says to confess your faults to one another, and then you'll experience healing. You can't do life alone. Relationship choices are critical. This is a process that God set up from the beginning of creation. It says in Proverbs 27:19, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Why? Because relationships are spiritual. And every connection that becomes intimate, there's reproduction. There's a transference that takes place. And I mean, just like the physical law of gravity, okay? It just works without you thinking about it. Without you putting any thought to it, gravity is at work. It's a physical law set by God. This is a spiritual law that God set, where we don't just, even though we don't think about it, it's happening. People affect us. People have an influence on us. People have a transference into our lives. God set it up that way. And if you want to change your life, then you're not going to be able to do it alone. God established a law to set a process in motion that we need to have someone with a godly seed transfer into us, because relationships are spiritual. Are y'all getting this? So I have three key questions that I want to ask you. Three key questions that sum up those three points, that relationships are spiritual, that they have lasting impact, making our relationship choices very critical. And question number one is this: am I nurturing important relationships? Am I nurturing them? Like nurture, like baby them, like feed them, care for them. I think that's the right word to use. Why? Because the important relationships are the ones the devil's attacking. And they don't stay where you left them last. They don't. You have to put time and energy in making them work in your life. And when you're thinking about your family, guys, dads, you can't just be a going to Disney World once a year type of dad. You gotta be every day, every day, every day, every day. I gotta invest in my kids. I gotta nurture my relationship with my kids. You know, because I'm speaking this week, quite honestly, I had to work an extra day. And I was playing with Owen on that particular day before I was leaving for work. And I started to do my rounds and give my kisses and hugs to everyone. Went to my wife, went to my little girl, gave her a hug and a kiss. And then I was going to go to Owen. And Owen said, "No, don't go, Daddy." And that was just like, oh my goodness, like he gave me the sweetest pleas I have ever heard in my life. Like it brought my wife and I to tears, like, "Love you, buddy." But that really just reminded me, like, Colby, every day, every day, every day. Guys, you can't just take your wife on a trip every 25 years, you know? You got to put these bad boys up on her every day. Come on now. Am I the only one who thinks that's important? Come on. Seriously. You got to throw a log in the fire of every relationships because they don't end up, they're not where you left them last. The devil is working overtime to work on your relationships. And can I be honest with you? One hugely important relationship in my life is Joe and Kaya Bevilacqua. And let me tell you, I've had to seriously nurture my relationship with them, and they've had to seriously nurture their relationship with me. I mean, talk about a relationship with a godly transference right there. And to those who have ears to hear, it's cost a lot for both of us to have our relationship with one another. And we've had to nurture them because the devil has worked to try to break us up. And why wouldn't he? Look at what we're accomplishing. Look at what we're doing. Why would he not work so hard to divide us? One thing that we've done is we've treated our relationship like a covenant. You ever heard that word, covenant? That's like an outdated word. My generation needs to know what that word means. Seriously. The covenant, quite frankly, means no backing out of this. Like no backing out. And people of the Old Testament were so serious about making covenants, they esteemed relationships so seriously that they would make them into covenants. And part of that outward sign and expression of showing their covenant with one another in their relationship was that they would trade skins or equipment or weapons. And then the really serious ones is they would cut a little slit in their palm and they would shake hands and intermingle their blood. I can show you where Pastor Joe and I did it. No, we didn't do it. I'm just kidding. But seriously, covenant. It's like I am binding myself by my word in this relationship that if I did leave, I will experience personal loss because I didn't keep my word. And people nowadays, especially in my generation, are so flippant with relationships that it's so easy and they think it's very little consequence for them to have one relationship, buzz it off, and then go to the next one. No, we're a covenant. Sorry, man, I'm in for the long haul. But we need to think of it that way. And I'm telling you, there are godly people in your life who can transfer godly seed into you. Who are they? And how can you nurture that relationship? Who are the important relationships in my life, and how can I nurture those to be stronger within my life? Which leads to number two, am I severing harmful relationships? Am I nurturing the good ones, and am I severing the bad ones? Some of us have friends, have coworkers that you need to distance yourself from. Because if you get close, if you get intimate, if you get personal with them, there's going to be a reproductive process take place and you can't stop it. And because God set this in motion, you have to get away from it. It's a spiritual law set by God. And I don't care if it hurts their feelings. If they bring you down and they deter you and have you compromise what you believe about God, you need to get away from them. You need to sever it. And I feel a sense of responsibility and obligation to talk to the young ladies in here and as a male and pastor. If there is a gentleman and you're not married and he is just wanting to go knick-knack, paddywhack, this is going a little bit more sexual than I thought, and I apologize for this message. But apparently you guys can handle it. So let me tell you, you need to get away from him because he's not thinking for your well-being. You need to get away. Get away. You need to tell him off. And if you feel comfortable telling him about it, then you just give his number to Pastor Joe. Oh, he will rip that boy's behind so hard, he's going to feel a tangible presence of the fire of God. You understand? Seriously. I've seen him and Kaya go off on some people. Oh, my God. So, but we got to get away from these poor relationships. You want to know why? Because relationships they're spiritual. And intimacy reproduces. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." It says in Proverbs 13:20, "He who walks with the wise grows wise." I want you to notice that. He who walks with the wise grows wise. Why? Because when you're around the wise, there's a transference taking place, which helps you become wise. And then it continues to say, "But a companion of fools suffers harm." And the Bible says a lot about staying away from these fools. It has a lot to say about staying away from the lazy. Look at all the verses. To stay away from the angry, to stay away from the immoral, to stay away from the greedy, to stay away from the unbelieving. The Bible has a lot to say about this. Why? Because relationships are spiritual. They're spiritual. And they have an impact on your life. So who's impacting my life in a negative way? Who is detracting me from growing spiritually? Sever it. Sever it. You'll be okay. You'll be better off if you do it. So I need to nurture the important ones. I got to sever the harmful ones, which leads to number three. Am I initiating meaningful relationships? Am I initiating the meaningful ones? There are relationships out there that you don't have that you need. And you, I'm pointing to you. You need to initiate it. You need to initiate it. It says in Proverbs 18:24, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Right before we launched our very first service at New Chapel, one of my great friends called me up on the phone at 2 a.m. in the morning, just bawling his eyes out in tears. And what had happened was his dad had passed away unexpectedly. Oh, man. And he was living in Grand Rapids at the time, and I was staying up in Cedar Springs. And so at 2 a.m., he calls Pastor Joe too, and Pastor Joe invites him over to his house to comfort him there, to spend the night there. And I get out of bed at 2 a.m. in the morning, and I decide to drive down to Grand Rapids so that I could go to Pastor Joe's house and comfort him as well. And he stayed and slept in Pastor Joe's guest bed, and to keep him company, I stayed on the hard floor. Man, my back still hurts, Pastor Joe. You need to work on your carpet. No, I'm just kidding. But I stayed on the floor so that I could comfort him. I wanted to be closer to him than a brother. You know, we're so good about having casual acquaintances. We just want a bunch of casual friends that don't know anything about us. No, we need people who are close, who are personal, can I say, who are intimate with us, who know God, who love us and love God. We need those people in our life. And can I tell you, you'll find those people at church. If you initiate it. Like you initiate it. One thing I cannot stand about my generation is that they are socially awkward. How do I mean that? Not like they don't know how to talk to people, but because they're so engrossed with their devices and with their phones. And because they're so engrossed in social media, they don't know how to be social with those who are lively around them. They don't know how to instigate. Key word, instigate. Well, this is not my personality, or maybe they should come and talk to me. No, you initiate it. You initiate it. How many of y'all know that I've been very intentional lately with calling you and trying to establish a coffee or a breakfast or something lately? I've been calling a lot of people. You want to know why I've been doing that? You can probably, don't just call me the worship pastor, you can call me the coffee pastor. Colby, the coffee pastor. Let me tell you why I'm doing that. Because I'm being intentional to initiate meaningful relationships in my life. Because I believe that relationships are spiritual. And I'm personally finding those relationships myself where I can personally transfer godly seed into them and receive something from them into my life. You know, here's something that's kind of funny. You would think that Pastor Joe's an outgoing person. Well, I guess he is. Or an extrovert. He really is more naturally an introvert. And I met him my second year at Bible school, where our first class, the first hour, and we have our assigned seats, and I sit in my assigned seat, and here comes this little dude sit right next to me. You want to know who initiated that? Me. I did. And he'll admit it. And when I initiated that relationship, I was not thinking about the future at all. I wasn't thinking about how I was going to plant a church with him. I wasn't thinking about how I was going to be his future worship pastor. I wasn't thinking about the future in one bit. I was just initiating a godly relationship. And it all simply started with a, hey, my name is Colby. And then look at what's transpired since then. All through initiation. You know, there's one morning I took Mr. Ed and I took Mr. Jim out to breakfast. Because I wanted them to deposit into me. I'm just a young pastor. I'm on the same journey as you are. And I want wisdom. I want people to transfer into my life. So I'm going to initiate those relationships. And I love everyone on our tech team and usher team and worship team. I mean, those are the people at church. When you serve at church, those are the people I really get to know, because this is kind of my area. I love the people on my worship team. Not because they're incredible musicians. I mean, I'm just blown away by the talent that we have on our stage. Hey, John. And let me let you in on a little secret. Next week, the worship team is actually going to get together for a little retreat. And some of y'all actually may not know this, but one of the songs that we sing here at church, it's called Your Name is Great. That's a song that our worship team wrote. I'm not saying that out of pride. I'm just saying that, you know, the Lord has put stuff in our hearts that really minister to our church. And so we're meeting next week for a little retreat. We're going to Ada and we're going to worship together. We're going to read the word together. We're going to have fun together and we're going to write some more songs for our church. And we really believe that once we go into this new facility, we're going to have some fresh vision from the Lord as far as how to minister to our church with worship. And you won't know how that's all going to happen. That's going to be through us furthering our relationships with each other that weekend. And that's why I'm really looking forward to it. Well, how do I find those relationships, you wonder? Do this. Look around you. They're right here. The best friends that I've ever had are at this church. I'm serious. And let me just say this. I know I've made this a point every time I preach. And I'm not just saying this to put a point on the screen. I'm saying this because it's true. The people that I know the most, the people who I have a great relationship with, are the people that I've met either in a small group or those who serve at our church. You really want to get into a relationship with someone? You can't just do it on a Sunday morning where you come in and go out. Small groups are spiritual. Serving is spiritual. And they're out there, but you have to initiate it yourself. You take the initiation. So who can you set out and find and initiate a relationship with? And let me close by saying this. There's no greater relationship to nurture than that with God himself. And here's a cool thing about God. Listen to this. God never only wanted to be your God. Like, he wants to be close to you. He wants to be the person that you talk to. He wants to be your friend. Jesus said in John 15, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. My friends. And you know what? Even deeper than that, he wants to be your father. He wants to be your dad who will love on you and see to it that you're well taken care of. And when you come to him in faith, he will make you new and he will put his spirit in you and he will be your father. Because it says in Romans 8, the spirit we receive does not make us slaves again to fear. It makes us children of God. With that spirit, we cry, oh, daddy, oh, father. Ladies and gentlemen, relationships are spiritual. So right now it's decision time, okay? Some of us have some decisions we need to make. As I'm preaching this message, I really hope the Lord is bringing faces to your mind. Who are the relationships that you need to invest in a little bit more? Maybe you're older. Who are the younger people that you can invest in? Maybe you're younger. Who are the older people that you can invest in? What are those relationships in your life that you need to nurture? Who are some of the relationships that you need to cut off, that you need to sever? Some of us need to find someone in our church where we can go up to them and take them out to coffee, take them out to lunch. And some of us need a fresh relationship with God. We do. And let me say, there's no such thing as a perfect relationship, even with God, because he's dealing with you, right? But I'm telling you, if you will find godly people to surround you, if we will find godly people to invest in us and nurture those relationships, people who can transfer blessing into us. And I promise you, when you take that leap of faith and you try to find those people and you start to take ground in relationships, because you're a sinner and they're a sinner, there will be hurt, there will be offense, there will be frustration. But boy, when you nurture those things, you grow so much in your relationship with God. And if we just surround ourselves, if we're intimate, if we're close, if we're personal with the right people, godly people, if I may, small group people, our relationship with God will go to the next level. You want to know why? Because relationships are spiritual. So make sure that you initiate meaningful relationships in your life, because relationship choices are critical. Make sure that you sever harmful relationships, because relationships have lasting impact. And make sure that you nurture the important relationships, because relationships are spiritual. Let's pray. Father God, doesn't this sound like a very simple message, talking about relationships? But Lord, I know my generation, how relationships just aren't that big of a deal in our lives. And I have come to know through my friends here at this church how so important they are. God, will you help me to nurture the relationships I have at this church? God, will you give me the strength and the boldness to cut off those relationships that are harmful to my spiritual growth? And God, will you give me boldness to initiate more meaningful relationships in my life? And Father, as I pray for everyone else out in here, I pray, God, that you too give them the strength. Give them the strength to nurture and to sever and to initiate. And Father God, for some people in here, I pray that you help them initiate a relationship with you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if this is the first time that you've heard about this God, about Jesus Christ, let me tell you, there is no greater relationship in your life. There's none more life-giving. There's none more fruitful than having a thriving relationship with God Almighty. And he makes it so simple. He makes it so simple to have a relationship with him. He does. It's not something you have to get on your knees 50 times a day and make sure that you're holy and pure from the inside out. He just wants you to be his child, and he wants you to talk with him. And how you do that is you simply come to him in faith. In faith. And how you do that is you make him the Lord of your life. And you simply believe that he raised Jesus from the dead. And when you do that, the Bible says that you will be saved. And I want to extend an invitation to you that if you have not made Jesus your Savior and your Lord, today is the day to make that decision. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray that prayer with me. Pray it out of your heart and make it meaningful for you. Church, we agree with what they're doing, so why don't you agree with me too and say this after me. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me and rise again, that I may have a relationship with you. I want a relationship. So I come to you in faith, and I call Jesus Lord, and I thank you for saving me. Help me, Lord, to live my life for you. In Jesus' name, every head bowed. Lord, I just thank you, God, for those who have made that decision this morning. God, I thank you for those who have made a bold step. I pray, Lord, that you help them get connected to a small group. Help them to find meaningful relationships in our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I don't think I have to tell you really what happened there. It was a message that I think that we all need. Listen, if you accepted Christ in here today, I'm proud of you. You made a quality decision. When you walked in, they gave you this connection card. It has a couple lines of information. And at the bottom, it says, I'm committing my life to Christ. I'm renewing. I want to be baptized. I want to talk with a ministry leader. And whatever your decision was today, check that box. In just a second, we're going to transition our service, and we're going to go into the generosity portion. I'm going to give you a couple scriptures about generosity. But when that happens, if you accepted Christ, I would love it if you would put that card into that bucket. Is that cool? Hey, let's give it up for all those people that accepted Christ in here. Really proud of you. Awesome. And what an awesome message from Pastor Colby. Give it up for Pastor Colby. He ever calls me little guy again, he's going to be working at the Lutheran Church. But Other than that, no, what an incredible message, and cool for you to see kind of a window into our relationship. It really is the most meaningful relationship I have in my friend sphere, and I thank you for it, Pastor. So listen, let me give you a scripture out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God's vision for your life is that you would experience His richness. Now, that doesn't mean that you drive a Rolls Royce, but if anybody has one of those and you want to sow it into the ministry for the pastoral fund, in Jesus, no, I'm just kidding. But what it does mean is this, and it defines it. Richness is having enough for every good work. That means that should you pay your bills? Yeah, you said you were going to do it. You signed whatever contract, you should pay your bills. That means that if your kids need certain furnishings for school, that you'd be able to afford those. That means that if you need to eat, you'd be able to afford that. God wants to meet all of those needs, that you would have all sufficiency in all things, but it's found when you trust Him. You have to withdraw from the world's economic system and go into God's economic system. The way that we do that as Christians is found with the tithe. It's 10% of our income. We worship Him with it. And I've heard a testimony last week. I went out to dinner with a couple, and not the only coffee pastor around. And we went to Kitchen 67 right after church. It was awesome. Got me some dead cow, which I'm looking forward to today. But sat around the table, and Amy and her husband Rick. And Rick looks at me and he says, "Look, I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. But until I came to New Chapel, I'd never really heard about the generosity message before, about the message that God wants to bless me and that I should withdraw and worship Him with my finances and withdraw from the world system." He said, "I'd never heard that before here." And my wife did. She encouraged me to do it. And it kind of got to the spot where it's like, all right, let's do it. Well, they were believing God for a house. And what happened was they began tithing. They tithed for a month. And God opened a door. They got an incredible deal. How many of y'all know the market in Grand Rapids is just really inflated right now? And so they got it at a great deal, the house they wanted and the area that they wanted. And he looked at me and said, "I'm a believer in God's system of doing things." And I'm here to tell you guys, that's what it is. That money leaves your hand, but it doesn't leave your life. God's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. But how's it found? It's found in sacrifice. It's found in trust. Anything with God is found by jumping in. So what we're going to do is worship God with our generosity, with our giving. Christians are going to worship God with their tithes and offerings. And a couple ways that you can do that. Go ahead and throw that slide up here, guys. You can do it in weekend services with the bucket. And I just want to highlight for a second. If you have a card and you're just not an online person, you don't have a smartphone, you have a jitterbug, that's fine. You can write your card information on the back of an envelope. And you can say, charge it once, charge it every other week, whatever you want to do, and we can take care of that. You can give with your phone or give online. That's at newchapel.com/give. That's our website for giving. Also, you can text to give. You can see the number there. What Kai and I did is we automated our generosity on the 15th, 30th, actually begin and middle. I always get it confused whether it's the 1st or the 30th, and she's told me 1,000 times. But anyway, I'm worshiping God with it. And what we do is we set aside time when that happens, link hands, and worship God with our generosity. We automated what's important to us, and man, to serve God, sacrifice for God, and really be in His economic system, that's valuable in the Bethel Aqua home. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to hold your tithes, your offerings. If you have an envelope, you can hold that. If you're giving on your phone or you give on your computer at home, you can hold your smartphone or your jitterbug, as it were, in your hands, and we're going to pray. Father, thank You for the opportunity to sow a seed into Your kingdom. God, we thank You that as we sow this seed, we don't sow it because we have to. We sow it because we love You. God, we thank You that as we give this seed, that we do withdraw from the world system and enter into Yours. God, we thank You that You'll meet all of our needs according to Your riches and glory, that we will have all sufficiency in all things and have enough for every good work. We thank You, God, that You're taking care of us. You have our back, and that You are a good, good Father. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, visit newchapel.com.